I'm Jessica Duckett. Welcome to the Unconditional Energy Podcast. I'm a strong, energetic mom and health nut, but it wasn't that long ago that I felt overwhelmed and defeated with advice from health gurus and, of course, Dr. Google. I help hardworking women jump off that merry-go-round that keeps you from making progress. So are you ready to say goodbye to overwhelm and defeat? Then let's dive in. Real quick, before we get going, I want to share a little about myself and what unconditional energy is all about. I had health issues for over 20 years, and I had some real low points in my health. There was even a time that I can remember I could hardly reach my arms above my head to wash my hair because I had such extreme fatigue and myalgia. I can relate to feeling overwhelmed and defeated, looking for answers that seem impossible to find. I used to look for that miracle cream, a magic pill, a diet, anything that could help me. After I conquered all of those challenges, I felt compelled to share the unique solutions I discovered with other hardworking women who were just like me. Unconditional Energy uses the best health strategies supported by the latest brain science. Each of my podcasts gives simple, actionable steps to help you make progress and get the results you're looking for. Now let's get started.
So hey there, guys. I'm so happy to be with you. I missed you guys. And so what I've been up to lately, let me see. I have been doing some crazy stuff. My face yoga, lymphatic massage. I'm really getting into exercising. I love it. And I've been pretty consistent with it 5 days a week for quite some time now. And I'm seeing some results. I'm excited about that. Spending a lot of time with my family lately. I've worked through a lot in the last several months, getting past some trauma that I didn't even realize was really impacting my daily life. And something that came to light recently while helping a loved one go through their trauma kind of just really brought to the surface some of my past trauma. And I didn't even realize the impact that it was having on my life and some of the decisions that I make. And so getting to know myself a little bit more, leaning on my husband and letting him essentially understand those parts of me and how they affect my thinking has grown me. And I hope that if you suffer from trauma or you are suffering, that you will lean on other people and explore that part of yourself and find the glimmers of hope out there. One of the things that it made me realize is the importance of resilience. So my definition of resilience is the ability to rise above your circumstances.
So I'm really excited to bring this interview with a friend of mine who has overcome some major challenges. And I hope you take something away that will help build your resilience. I know that I did. So here we go.
So I'm here with Robert Sego. Robert's a husband, a dad, a grandpa, a veteran, and a self-published author. He just recently retired from a really great career in nursing. And so Robert, it's been a while since we've talked. We've had an awesome afternoon. We talked a lot about your books. And I just want to hear a little bit more about what you've been up to lately with your books and what's been going on in your life.
I've had a lot of health issues in the last 5 or 6 years, spinal surgeries, brain surgeries, pancreatic cancer. And yet I'm still kicking. Mm-hmm. I'm not willing to go down without a fight. You know, being retired now is not exactly what I thought it was going to be, but It's enjoyable. I spend a lot of time with my wife and my dogs. I have a lot of time to work around the house. As far as the books, 2018, I finished my last two, The Wages of Sin and There Are None So Blind. And I'm currently working on, I have two works in progress. One is called Saving Grace, at least for now, that's what it's called. And the other one is untitled. It's a third book in a series of the two that I've already written. Working on those, and just trying to get, some enjoyment out of life and have some fun, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so as we've been talking this afternoon, we had a good lunch or just chatting and visiting. I'm so intrigued by, and even more than I had expected to be, about your books. And so with your books, they're on a variety of different characters. All of them are quite different. Some of them, like you said, you've developed some series. You've got several different books that you've written. Tell me about your all-time favorite book.
My personal favorite, and my wife's also, and she had quite a bit of input into it, mm-hmm. is called Voices of the Past, P-A-S-S-E-D, not past as in the past. It's really kind of near and dear to our hearts and my heart. It's got some characters in it that, while they haven't gone on into other books that I've written, have kind of established their own identities and stand alone with this book. This book was my personal favorite of writing it. I enjoyed the way that it played out. I actually really liked the ending, which wasn't always the case by people who read the book. Mm-hmm. Some actually did not like the ending.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. That goes with the territory. But it's a mystery. It has dogs in it. All my books have dogs. That's just something that I have to have. Well, in this particular book, they play, I won't say a major part, but they definitely play a vital part. Caleb Armstrong is the main character in Voices, and he's a retired, ex-Navy corpsman. He's working as an ER nurse in San Diego, kind of a reclusive, kind of a loner, and he ends up meeting a woman named Charity Sandcastle, who's a rather brightly colored, if you will, antiques dealer. She kind of dances to her own tune.
Yeah, yeah.
But she brings so much life to the book. She absolutely does. The antagonist that's after Caleb, I won't go into a lot with him, but he's not a very pleasant person, and but he's very determined to get what he wants. Mm-hmm. And we'll kind of leave it at that with Voices, just to kind of leave you hanging on that one.
Yeah, yeah. So I appreciate it so much because you actually brought me a copy, which I can't wait to dig in, especially since this is yours and your wife Anna's favorite book.
Without a doubt.
So I'm really excited and talking about.
I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, and talking about the characters and then just seeing the variety of different things. It seems like, you know, you've pulled in so much from being a nurse too. You've seen so much from your career in nursing, but also as a veteran and just life experience, you know, the challenges. And then you also have a real, you're very intuitive, I've noticed, like you're very, very much intuitive. And so you've picked up so much from your life. I was asking you, you know, like, what inspires you? And you were going off into some of your methods. It's like everything that you see around you is an inspiration, can be an inspiration a story, which I thought is awesome.
Absolutely. I don't think there's anything that you can see, experience, hear in today's world that you couldn't sit down and turn into a book. I think you just have to have the creativity, the imagination. You have to be willing to expose yourself, be willing to say, man, what I just wrote is garbage. I got to get rid of that and go back to the beginning of the page. That's okay. Mm-hmm. That's all right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why they have the delete button. But everything in life, everything that you experience, whether it's inside your house, whether it's at work, whether it's driving to work, whether it's being at the grocery store, it doesn't make any difference. Everything in life is a possibility for a story. It's there if you're willing to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but you just have to be, you have to be willing to put yourself out there. You have to be willing to just bare your soul and sit down and put pen to paper or fingers to keyboard and be willing to just, nothing is really off limits when you're writing fiction.
Yeah. And some of the stories that you were telling me earlier about some of your books seems really, really rich. What do you think is the top misconception people have about writing a book?
That they can't do it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I know that's a very simplistic answer, mm-hmm. but honestly, I think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I started in 2009 with a short story, mm-hmm. and it was something that was very personal to me because it was based on something I had experienced as a young man when I was in the service.
Yeah,
I had forgotten all about it for 20 years. Mm. It hadn't even entered my mind for all those years. But then one night, I woke up from a I won't call it a nightmare, but from a very bad dream with all this stuff in my head. And I thought, where's this coming from?
Yeah.
So I went in, sat down on my computer the next morning, and this short story came out.
Wow.
And when my wife read it, and when Anna read it, she went, "Why didn't you ever tell me about this?" Because I didn't remember it.
Yeah.
Whoa. So, yeah. You know, we bury subconsciously, we bury stuff. But I think anybody can sit down and write a book. Anybody can write a book. You have to have an idea, a character, hopefully more than one character, or it's not going to be a very long book. But you have to be willing to put in the time and the effort. You think you hit a wall and this isn't working. Well, if something's not working, get rid of it and go back and start it again.
Yeah. What I thought was so funny is that, you know, like you were saying, there's complexities in the book. Like even like you said, there's always dogs in my book.
Sure.
Tell me about the special request that one of your readers had for you.
I was very firmly informed by a nurse that I worked for that I was not to kill one of the dogs in one of the books. His name is Joker. He's a German Shepherd. I was told. I was not asked. It wasn't a request. She didn't send me an email.
Yeah.
She told me face to face after reading the book, "You cannot kill Joker." I said, "Okay, I won't hurt him. I mean, I might hurt him, but I won't kill him." "No, you can't do anything to Joker." And I told her, "I can't promise that." I don't know where the story was going to unfold after that point.
Yeah, yeah.
But even to this day, we talk periodically, and it's always, "You're still not hurting Joker, right?"
Yeah.
"You're still not hurting Joker."
Yeah.
She became very enamored with that particular dog
in
that particular story. That dog had a huge part in that story.
Yeah.
So I understand why. I didn't kill him.
Yeah.
I didn't kill him. I didn't have the guts to kill him because I know she would have come hunting me down. And she's a country girl, so that made me very nervous, you know.
I think that's so funny because people really get attached to the characters in your book. So I wanted to, you know, go into a little bit here, Robert. You've experienced some physical setbacks in the past years, but instead of slowing down, you have gone into the unknown and become an author. And one thing that I noticed about you too is that it seems like you just have so much energy and a passion for life.
You know, yeah, I've experienced a lot of physical stuff since probably 2014, 2013, in that ballpark. A lot of surgeries, a lot of complications from surgeries, cancer.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of setbacks.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always been kind of my thought that, you know, God only gives us as much as we can possibly handle.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I think I'm about my limit with the big man upstairs, but, you know, that being said in jest, I think he only gives us as much as I think we can amaze ourselves with what we're able to deal with. Whether we do or not is a whole nother issue. Mm-hmm. I try to wake up each morning, and no matter how bad I might be feeling, and most mornings it is, you know, I just go, okay, I'm awake. My eyes are open. You know, I have people counting on me, mm-hmm. my wife, my dogs, my grandson. These are people, these are my motivators. These are what get me going in the morning. But I think if you can just keep yourself of the mindset that there's always somebody out there that's worse off physically, emotionally, you know, dealing with whatever life might be throwing at them. You know, marriage problems, children problems, work problems, COVID-19 problems, vaccination problems.
For sure.
All these things we're now having to deal with, adding to our stress level.
Yeah.
You know, some mornings it's extremely difficult to get up. The true success is in getting up despite how lousy you may be feeling or how good you might. Maybe you had a good night's rest for once. But I think if you can just stay focused on staying, I can't even really say positive because that I think that's overused. But if you can just focus on, okay, there are people that are counting on me today. creatures, animals that are counting on you, mm-hmm. kids that are counting on you,
yeah.
grandkids that are counting on you. You know what? These things will all ultimately help you drag your carcass out of bed, you know, hit the floor, put your feet on the floor. Things might hurt, whatever the case may be, but you get up and you move.
Yeah.
Because that's the first step in your day. Where your day goes from there is anybody's guess.
Yeah.
There's no guarantees in life. I'm never going to condemn anybody for where they're at and say, oh, just suck it up. No, suck it up is to be taken out of the vocabulary.
Yeah. I think it's so interesting how both of us were talking about, you know, I've had some low points, and it started with getting up out of bed in the morning. Like, we both went there. Like, that was key and pivotal for me, is finding a reason to get up. There's got to be a motivation. And for you, you've got a sense of responsibility, but you've, like you said, people are counting on me, and I've got a reason to get up.
And I count myself lucky. Forgive me, Anna, for saying this. All I have is my wife and my dogs, you know, health issues, you know, significant stuff. I hear you say, well, mine was, not on par with yours. No, it's not a matter of what's on par. What I go through is mine. What you go through is
It's all serious.
It's all very serious. But I see, and I've worked with a lot of women and men too, but a lot of women who, while dealing with very serious health issues and, you know, family issues and stuff, they just keep putting one foot in front of the other, coming to work, taking care of their patients.
Hey there. I want to share a product with you that I am just crazy about, Organifi Pure. I use Pure to gain that extra edge and energy I need in my busy, busy life. Pure gives me mental clarity, so I always use it when I'm prepping for important meetings, phone calls, and I even drink some right before I've got major decisions to make. Organifi puts Pure in these tiny packets, so it's super easy to pour it into cold water, and I love mine with crushed ice. The packets are convenient to take to work, and I even take mine on vacation with me. Pure is a much better option than coffee or energy drinks because Organifi puts superfood ingredients like lion's mane mushroom, baobab, and ginger, so it's perfectly aligned with your health goals. If you want to give Pure a try, just click on the link in the show notes and use the code UNCONDITIONALENERGY to get your discount. I know you're going to love it. Yeah, and one of the things that I really try to cover is leaning on others for support. Just, you know, like when people are needing you, you reach out and you help that person, you support that person. One thing I've always noticed from you is you're so uplifting.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. And, you know, with all these different challenges, tell me about what got you through in those low points. Where do you find what you need to go on, especially like with chronic pain? Tell me what got you through in some of those low points.
Quite honestly, my wife.
Yeah.
My dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Before all of my brain stuff was, as it was starting out in 14, I would actually be laying on the sofa having like little mini tremors, almost mini seizures. Mm-hmm. And my oldest dog would actually climb up behind me and lay her head on the back of my skull.
Wow.
Where, unfortunately, we found, you know, a growth.
Yeah.
You know, she knew something was wrong with Dad, and she knew where it was.
Yeah.
You know, my dogs and my wife have been hugely instrumental.
Yeah.
With, you know, getting that. This is going to sound really crazy, but the Afghanistan and Iraq war has been huge in helping me deal with my stuff. Because I look at these 20-year-olds that are coming back blind, missing limbs, missing one, two, three limbs, maybe four. You know, coming back with major brain injuries. I'm sorry. I have no room to complain about my stuff hurting when I see a 20-year-old that's lost both of his legs below the knee and one arm and his 21-year-old wife sitting next to him with their 2-year-old child.
Yeah.
I have no room to complain. Yeah. I really have no room to, you know, what they're going through is so much worse than anything I'll ever go through.
It's big.
You know, and it doesn't lessen what I've gone through. I'm trying to imply that. I'm just saying, if you put it in perspective, you know, I've seen a lot of young vets. I've talked to a lot of young vets at the VA when I go to the VA clinic. I wouldn't trade places with them for any amount of money for what these guys have gone through. A lot of it emotional, much of it emotional and mental.
Not a physical.
Yeah. I've seen nurses that I work with, people that I personally know and have known for years, who have lost children in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And they've come home in coffins. You know, they'd love to trade places with me and have my pain. So I think if you really put things in perspective, that really has been huge in helping me with the pain issues. I've had people at work when I was still working, you know, in pain and blind in one eye and having memory issues and whatnot, you know, why are you still working? Well, because I can. Mm-hmm. Until I can't anymore. And when I hit that point, then I realized it too. But, you know, I can't believe you're still working. Mm-hmm. Why? I'm not dead. You know, I can still get up and function and do most of my job. But, you know, I Anna and the dogs, quite honestly.
Yeah.
And my youngest grandson, Joseph, who's serving in the Navy right now, I wanted to set an example for them. Mm-hmm. I want him to see, yeah, Papa's been through. I mean, he was there when I had my second back surgery, or my third back surgery, second and third. He saw what I went through. He saw me going through all of my brain surgeries and all the complications and all the issues there. You know, he was there when I had to retire, you know, or prematurely. I want him to see that just because you get life beats the snot out of you, guess what? You pick yourself up off the floor, you dust yourself off, and you just keep moving forward. You know, it's better than the alternative. And like I said, all you have to do is go down to the local VA cemetery, and I guarantee you can find any one of those 22-year-olds that would love to be back feeling the pain you're feeling and be alive and be up and moving and seeing their family and their wives and their kids and their parents.
Yeah.
So I think it's all perspective, but I have to give Anna and the dogs, you know, and my grandson a tremendous amount of credit. Anna has just been phenomenal. I mean, she's hung IVs on me 3 times a day through a PICC line. I never thought she could have done that. If you'd have told me she could do that, I would have called you a liar. But they taught her how to do it, and she did it 3 times a day, every day for 6 weeks at home while I laid on the couch. The dogs wanted to help, but they couldn't manipulate with their paws. They couldn't manipulate the
Yeah, they tried. Bags. They tried, but they failed.
They wanted to, you know, but they gave me support where they could. But I just, you know, I really have to give the credit to Anna and the dogs and Joseph and God. I mean, he's given me the strength to keep going through and going through and going through, you know, until the next thing hits. And that's the beauty of life. There's always going to be something down the road.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
There's always going to be something new coming down the road. I don't know what it is.
I like your sense of gratitude. You know, like, I really feel like one thing that when you're going through the crux of pain, especially with chronic pain or whether it be trauma, health issues, wherever you're struggling, being grateful for just being alive. Like we were saying, hey, we woke up.
Right.
If you're in pain, that means you're alive.
That's
like
right.
You're breathing.
You've pain got a means pulse. You're alive. That's
pain
right.
Pain means you're alive. And just to see that sense of gratitude from you that, you know, A, I'm alive. B, there's always someone that has it so much worse.
Absolutely.
And just being grateful for what we do have. That gratitude in the big things and the small things. Like you're so grateful for Anna. And,
oh, big time.
You know.
Most days.
most days. You're so grateful. You're so grateful. And I like when you apologize to Anna, you talk to the phone. I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry. She's going to hear. I know she's going to hear this. And I'm going to catch heck for it. No.
But I really think that's that sense of gratitude because those are like the foundations for seeing things through the lens that you need to see them through, because it can always get much worse. Someone's always got it worse.
Yeah.
And you have the ability to wake up every morning. And as long as you've got that, all the rest are just the details, as far as I'm concerned, you know?
Yeah, you're
so
right.
So I feel
you're
like it's that right. Sense of gratitude. It's awesome.
Well, I just think that people are always going to want more. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if the mistake we make is losing the gratitude for what we have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have a home. Yeah. And I have my wife and I have my dogs and I have a very select group of friends that are loyal and I know that I can count on at a moment's notice and has been proven. You know, these are things to be grateful for. Yeah. And if you keep focusing on what you don't have or what's wrong in your life, it's very easy to do. And I do it myself.
Yeah. Yeah. We all do it.
I mean,
yeah.
there's days I look at my house and my yard and I go, I don't want to do this anymore. honest to God, I don't want to do all this yard work anymore. I don't want to paint my house. I don't want to do any of this stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's okay.
Yeah.
As long as you don't focus, let that become the focus of your day. I'm grateful that I have a house that needs painting, that I can plant fruit trees in.
Yeah.
You know, these are things, if you focus on the positive, the negative doesn't seem to have as much impact on you. But that's the thing too. Don't think, oh, I can't have negative thoughts. No, you can. You can absolutely think.
Yeah, because you're human, right?
You're human. I don't want to do this. Okay, well, you don't have to want to do it. You just have to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Then when it's done, it's done.
Yeah. I like the way, this is the way, because you and I are somewhat a lot alike in some ways, the way we see things, is that you flip things on, to put things in a positive lens, you have to flip it on its head. So you're saying, you know, and I do the same thing. Yeah, I don't want to do all those dishes, or I don't want to clean my house. Or, you know, I don't want to do all this laundry. But if you flip it on the head, on its head, is I have a home.
Mm-hmm.
I have dishes to worry about. Right. I have clothes that need to be laundered. Right. Like really just anything can be flipped on its head and thinking, you know what? I'm grateful for having these problems.
That's exactly right. I'm grateful to have the problems of too much laundry to do and too many dishes to wash. And because that means that I had food in my refrigerator I was able to cook and eat off of my plates.
Yeah.
And I have clean clothes to wear. I mean, and I'm not saying I'm always positive because I'm not. Just ask Anna. She'll tell you. There are days she looks at me and goes, I'm going for a drive. I'm going for a cup of coffee. You're just too much for me. Everybody's entitled to bad days.
Yeah.
Everybody is entitled. If you don't have bad days, you're lying to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not, I want your life.
It's the human condition, right?
Sure, sure. But I think if you try, do the best you can at looking at things, get the tunnel vision thing, and open it up a little bit, expand it, see things from a little different perspective, you know. Success is in trying. If you try something and you fail, at least, you don't succeed, you didn't fail. There's nothing wrong with that. The failure is then if you say, I'm never going to try again. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do it again. That's where you fail. Mm-hmm. So I really think this the only failure is if you don't achieve your goal and you just stop and you say, I'm not going to try anymore.
Yeah.
When you quit trying, and I hate to use the word fail. I really do because it has an ugly connotation, but it really is. Give yourself permission to not succeed at what you're trying right now. It's okay.
Yeah.
Try it again.
So, Robert, what would you say to someone who's facing challenges that are keeping them from reaching their goals?
Keep trying. Mm-hmm. I had people after my third back surgery, which was 12 hours and, you know, it was 4 months of rehab. They said, you know, you're never going to be able to come back. You know, you're just not going to be able to do it, you know. And my neurosurgeon said, well, you probably can. It's going to be up to you and the therapy. See how you do with the therapy. Well, 4 months later, I was back at work. Mm-hmm. You know, I think anybody that tells you or tells someone they can't do something, you don't want to plant that seed in somebody's head.
Yeah.
You know, you're crippling people. Mm-hmm. The only person that can stop you from achieving whatever it is you want to achieve, however small you may think it is or however major it may be, the only person that can really, in most cases, stop you from achieving your goal is you. You can be your own worst enemy or your own best friend. Somebody tells you can't do something, prove them wrong.
Yeah. I think I like what you said earlier is just really in trying, you're already succeeding.
Yeah, succeeding.
Even if you don't accomplish that goal and just setting out and trying is success in itself.
That's success.
I think that's really key
And what I consider is almost every failure I've ever had that was a major failure has been life-changing for
sure.
me. It's either grown me or I learned something for it. But if I hadn't tried in the first place, I would have never grown or learned.
Exactly. If you fail at something, yeah. use it. Say, okay, fine. Okay, I didn't succeed at that. Okay, or you can say, I failed at what I was trying to
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we've had such a good time today. We've eaten lunch together and visited.
Very nice.
And found out, you know, and really caught up. Where can we find you, your books?
The books are on Amazon right now. Type in R.L. Sego and it'll bring up all six books.
Okay.
They're available in paperback and Kindle. You can get me, you find me on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I'm on Facebook. I have an email if you're interested. I can, you know, if people are interested, I can, I have a synopsis typed up of all of my books.
Oh, awesome.
Just a quick little blurb for each one. So they kind of have an idea of what each one is about.
Yeah, that's great.
I can email that to them or it's kind of like the back of the book, if you will, mm-hmm. for each book, just to kind of give people an idea. But I do, particularly my middle three and four books, Tears of the Innocent and The Rebirth of Innocence. They deal with sex trafficking of children. Mm-hmm. Nothing graphic. I don't get graphic, the subject is there. It is part of the book.
It's serious.
Particularly on those two books, they are definitely some very ugly stuff.
Yeah, I think
the last one,
yeah.
There Are None So Blind, is more of a psychological mystery about some veterans that are come back from the war and are being pursued by a less than pleasant gentleman who's trying to track him down.
less than pleasant.
He's not a very nice guy. He seems very nice. He's not a nice guy. Let's just put it. There's no way to put it. He's not a nice guy. He's a very bad man, and he gets what he gets in the end is nearly what he deserves. But so yeah, Amazon.com. I'm on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I'm way behind on my webpage. I'll shoot you that address so they have anything if they want to
look
at the webpage, because all the information on the books is there too.
Yeah. No, I think that's great that you have an overview of the books that you can send people. And so I'll definitely put that in the show notes. Well, Robert, I want to thank you for taking your time, and I really enjoyed it.
Me too. It's been very enjoyable.
So if you hadn't already noticed, there's four main things that Robert spoke about that I really think help a person be more resilient. And I know it has definitely helped me. Some of the things that I pulled out was really leaning on other people. He leans on his family, and that is something that I really try to do, is lean on my family and close friends. Something I also like to do is I really focus on being there for other people so that it's not just a one-way relationship. And I hope that you'll think about that. The more you give, the more you get. And so that's something that I try to hold true, and I hope that you'll try that out too. The other things that Robert mentioned were just being so grateful, and his perspective was so awesome, focusing on the positive. And one of, you know, those three things can really be accomplished. You know, a tip for you would be to journal. And I love to journal. And when you do focus and have an attitude of gratitude, it's really hard to feel sorry for yourself or to be angry, I find. It really tunes my heart and my mind. And so I love to focus on gratitude. One of the things that I do every single morning to get myself in check is just to thank God for the day. But also I say audibly, today is going to be an amazing day. Today is going to be an amazing day. Today is going to be an amazing day. And you wouldn't believe how effective that is, especially like if I forget to say it and I think, oh my gosh, my back hurts. I have so much to do today. What in the world? I go snap right back into it. Today's going to be an amazing day.
And I also spread the love and tell people around me, today's going to be an amazing day. And it is catchy. You wouldn't believe how many people will repeat that back to you if you tell them, today's going to be amazing. And to have them spit that right back at you, it's really catchy. And I feel like it lifts other people up. I always think people are going to get annoyed when I'm always saying that, but it doesn't seem to be that way. I think it really inspires people and puts other people in check too. Like, hey, today can be anything. We can make it amazing or we can make it a big chore. Focusing on the positive is pretty simple, and your brain, like I've told you before, your brain wants to figure out easy, easy ways. It wants everything simple. So the more you turn things into a habit, your brain goes into autopilot. And sooner or later, you won't have to try to remember to be grateful. You won't have to try to remember to be on the positive. It'll just happen automatically. And it takes a series of your brain repeating it over and over again. It takes about 28 days to develop a new habit, and really about 63 days, but don't quote me, it could be 67. It takes over 60 days to completely cement that habit into place.
Okay, guys, so let's bring this home. I hope you enjoyed this episode on resilience. I really, really enjoyed talking to my friend Robert. If you're interested about Robert's books, the information is in the show notes. And I wanted to leave you with a quote from one of Robert's books, Voices of the Past. I thought it was interesting because it really reflected his core beliefs and what we were talking about during our time together. So here it is. To each and every one who is still among the living, I salute you and say thank you. To those brave souls who have paid the ultimate price, I salute you and I honor your memory with this. America, wake up each morning, let your feet hit the floor and say, ready or not, world, here I come. Never quit fighting. You may not win every battle, but at least stay in the fight every step of the way. That, my fellow warriors, is the true mark of a hero. I couldn't have put it better myself, and what a perfect way to end this episode. I hope that you'll reach out to me on Instagram, instant message me, and I hope that you'll check out my Life Pivot sessions. There's more information about them in the show notes. Goodbye for now.